Welcome to this week's episode of Balance Your Life podcast. My name is Megan Farrell, and I will be the host for this podcast and all podcast episodes. Happy Monday, happy new start of the week. How is everyone doing? How was your week? It was so hot here. It's been absolutely glorious. I live for this weather. And if you know me, then you know that this sun, this heat is totally my jam. So before we dive into this week's episode of the podcast, I just wanted to remind you of connecting with me on social media. I have the travel itch. I have the travel bug. And to me, there's no better form of transformation than travel and yoga. And what better way to combine both of those together? So if you've been listening to this podcast, then you know that we have, or I rather, have a retreat coming up in Costa Rica at the start of November, and that is with Amanda King-Smith from Mastering the Business of Yoga. But going forward, I also want to start planning for 2020. So let me know if you want to join me on a retreat somewhere. Let me know where you would like to go, as I'm looking at different options and hoping to connect with other like-minded people who would like to join me. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Mala Prayer. Mala Prayer was established with the goal of creating high-quality, handmade mala bead necklaces, bracelets, and wellness items with an emphasis of empowering women around the world. Each purchase provides women entrepreneurs with access to microfinance loans to invest in their business, homes, and community. So not only are you getting a beautiful piece of jewelry, but you're supporting an amazing cause, which we love. Use my code BALANCEBYMEGAN20 at checkout to receive 20% off of your order. And you guys can go check the ones that I have on Instagram. I have about 10 of them and I absolutely love them. They're so pretty. They hold up so well and they're really nice in Instagram photos. So I'm obsessed with their necklaces and I love companies that support other charities or other organizations. So once again, you can use my code BALANCEBYMEGAN20 at checkout to receive 20% off of your order. That's BALANCEBYMEGAN20 at checkout. BALANCEBYMEGAN20 at checkout for 20% off of your order. Now let's dive into this week's episode with JB Mascareas. So with me today is JB Mascareas, who is a Reiki practitioner and a yoga and poetry teacher. Thank you for joining me today, JB.
Thanks for having me, Megan. It's an honor.
Oh, thank you. Can you let our listeners know where you are joining us from today?
I'm currently speaking out of Bowmanville, Ontario in Canada.
Perfect. Do you live in Bowmanville then?
Yes, I live in Bowmanville.
Oh, cool. My husband and I used to live there a couple of years ago. We weren't there for very long, but I love it. It's such a cute little town.
Yeah, it is very cute, especially the people. It's a very nice small town.
Yeah, it's like really family oriented. So, oh, nice. I didn't know that you lived there. Very cool. Perfect. So just to give a little context of who you are, do you want to give us kind of what you do? I had mentioned that you did Reiki, yoga, and poetry. How did that kind of come together for you?
Well, I've always been interested in poetry, and I just stopped writing just because I wasn't called to write, but taking the 200 hour and the 500 hour allowed me to express more of my authenticity, and so I have this voice that I think that would speak to a lot of people, like, soulfully, like, they could, it like feeds them and also feeds me, because like I'm willing to express myself in a creative and nurturing way. So for poetry through yoga, it just opened my throat chakra and allowed me to express my soul's desire and what I want to make out of my own life. So through my yoga journey, I just love the energy that comes with the Reiki, being more compassionate, being more open, and just meeting new people who are on the same journey as me.
Wow, amazing. There's a couple of different ways I want to go with this. You had mentioned mm-hmm. both poetry being kind of ignited as you went through your yoga teacher training, but I'm curious, and I'm going to go two different ways here. How did your love of poetry begin?
My love of poetry began when I was young. I didn't write too much. I always wrote like little broken down sentences that meant a lot to me at the time. So poetry for me is just jotting down some words, a sentence, and something that really resonates with me that helped me through that time. So looking back now at the words or whatever I wrote down allowed me to grow and to see like what purpose that part served in my life.
I love that. So would you say this was like primary school age, high school age, or so far back it's hard to even pinpoint when it started?
Definitely elementary school. Just because you're young, full of energy, your mind's going 100 miles an hour, and it's just getting it down on paper was the hardest part.
No, for sure. I completely understand that. I wanted to blog because I was like, well, everybody's blogging. We have to do all the things, but I'm much more of a speaker, a talker. I like to talk to other people. It's harder for me to write things down than it is to have a conversation with people, which poetry in a sense is you're conversing, you're speaking to somebody's soul with mm-hmm. words and with rhythm or limericks, yeah. All the poetry terms.
Yeah.
So your poetry love began really young. How did you dive into yoga, or how did yoga kind of come about for you in your life?
Well, it was totally unrelated from poetry. We had this workout program called the P90X, and it was just a home workout video that you do. You put in your DVD and you do the exercises. So there was this one disc after we did all the discs that they have, and it's called Yoga X. And as you could tell, it was yoga. But for some reason, like, I had the most difficult time with that workout than any of the other workouts. I found it more intense. I sweat more. Like, it was just like, I don't understand why it's so difficult for me to essentially stretch, right? Because, you know, you're not only stretching, but you're also strengthening. So it was just like, wow, like I never really learned how to stretch properly. So I became hungry for more. I used to work in Pickering, and then I felt this calling at the Balanced Life Studio. I used to drive it by every day, and I knew I just wanted to do my teacher training there. And then after I did my 200-hour course, I felt that same hunger to know more. So I signed up for the 500, and it just keeps on growing, and it's never fully satisfied, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, no, I completely relate to that. It's funny. We often joke, like, once you start drinking the yoga Kool-Aid, like, you just can't stop.
Yeah.
So you started doing P90X, which I feel like a lot of people will know, but for those of you who don't know what P90X is, like you said, it's a fitness DVD. It's a fitness program. So mm-hmm. you came to quote unquote yoga from a workout perspective?
Yes. I actually didn't even know that there was yoga on this until at the very end. I was just like, well, I'm gonna do all the workouts. So I was just like, okay, Yoga X, here we go. And then I was just, it tore me apart.
It's funny.
It blew my mind.
There's so many different styles of yoga that you can come to. But I find it funny when somebody comes to like a power yoga or an Ashtanga yoga practice, like they're butt kicking and probably harder than most workouts.
Yeah.
For people. How long were you doing P90X for before you decided to step into a studio?
Not very long because there was a yoga class offering at this local gym that I used to go to, and there was one of these teachers there, and I went to her one class, and I think it was like a yin class, and I was just like, wow, I felt really good after that class. So I kept on going to her class, and then another teacher subbed in, and I was like, I enjoy yoga. Like, how do I become a teacher? How do I learn more? She's like, there's a good studio either in Ottawa or in Pickering. And then I was like, okay. So I looked it up, and there was the Balanced Life one in Pickering. So that's how it just fell into my lap right there.
Perfect. And how long were you going to the studio before you decided you wanted to take your teacher training?
Essentially, I did my Reiki level one and two first, and the teacher there, Helen, and she's just super amazing. My goal is to be her one day, and just her loving energy, the energy of the whole studio, all the teachers, even all the students, like you just feel like you're home. So shortly after I did the Reiki one and two within the same year, and then the following spring, that's when I did my teacher training. I was like, okay, I got to do it now, and I just made it happen.
Okay, there's first of all, knowing Helen personally, you could definitely be the male version of Helen for sure. You'd be so good at that.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Okay, I like that where this is going. Let's talk about your Reiki level one. Why Reiki?
I'm kind of into like supernatural and stuff like that. So I seen like a medium slash psychic, and she told me down the line in my blood I have a healer, and she's like, do you know Reiki? I was like, no, and then she left it like that. So I just searched up Reiki, and then Helen popped up. I was like, oh wow, because I knew I wanted to go to the studio in Pickering, and then I also seen that they are offering Reiki. So then I was just like, okay, I'm gonna do Reiki one. So then I went to Reiki one, and then it was just wow, I can't even believe it. It's just astonishing to see how much I've grown and like how scary it could have been, but I know now that it was all worth it.
It sounds like we talk about divine timing and when you open yourself up to, this is what I want to do, this feels like the right path to me, how quickly those signs and those opportunities pop into your life. And it sounded like that's exactly what happened to you. You made a decision, oh, I want to learn more about what this Reiki is, and Helen literally like popped into your life and you went right away and you got your level one and your level two.
Yeah, it was just like a couple months in between, and yeah, I just did one and two, and then I was like, I gotta do my teacher training.
So is the end goal for you to become a Reiki master?
Absolutely. I love that. Like, Helen's a wonderful teacher, and the biggest lesson she's ever taught me, because I did my mentorship with her. So she said, everything is energy. You leave everything at the door, and you put your energy out there and your intention, and people feel it. When you see people before they enter into Helen's class, and you see the difference that when they leave, you could feel that drastic change of energy and that release within the class. Like, it's just, you cannot describe it. You could only just go and do it.
Yes, I love that. That sounds like such a Helen thing to say too. And people are probably like, who is this Helen person? Excuse me, you need to go check her out. I always say like you could send Helen anywhere in the world where there's conflict, and I 100% believe that she would resolve conflict with her with just her energy and her meditation. Yeah,
Her,
she's
she's a
incredible.
wonderful teacher, yeah.
So well, you're doing Reiki level one and level two, and then is it just a natural step for you to take your yoga teacher training, or what made you decide to go that route?
Yeah, I always wanted to teach yoga and to learn more. Before taking it, I had little intentions of teaching yoga. Like, I know some people don't have any intentions and then they end up teaching anyways. I knew I always wanted to become a teacher just because, coming from like a manual laborer for many, many years, like the damage I've done to the body, like yoga has helped me decrease the pain and suffering and allowed me to take years back. Basically, like my body feels younger. It feels like it's 18 again rather than like 26. So it definitely helped. And that's why I want to create more awareness around is that you could heal your own, you can heal yourself, essentially.
Okay, yes, I love this. So it's hard to explain, but so my husband came from a physical labor job as well, and he's blown two discs in his back. He has like a herniated disc or two of them in his back. He's always been heavily into physical labor. And when I first suggested to him, like, try some yoga, I've been doing it. He was like, no way is that happening. And then he hit such a low point in his life where it was, I need a solution and I need it now. I have nothing to lose. So I'm trying this thing that you say will help me called yoga. And it changed his life. Like, he talks about it and it was so impactful. It helped him deal with the pain. So, would you say that like a lot of your yoga or wanting to teach came from, I want to show even like men how they can deal with healing their bodies?
It's definitely more about stepping into teaching men just because, like, separating from ego and saying that yoga is just for women, it's not. It's for everybody. It's for literally every body. Anyone can do it, no matter what level, no matter what age, no matter the disability, anyone can benefit from it. So just it just helped me understand what I'm feeling in my own body. And that was the most meaningful thing is that I could do something about it. So it gave me the power to change something to, you know, it allowed me to get more confident. It allowed me to express myself more. It allowed me to understand that I could spread this knowledge with anybody, really.
Yes, okay, perfect. I agree. Like, I'm like, everybody needs to be doing yoga. And I think the perception is that yoga is these fancy poses that you see on the mat. And as yoga teacher trainees, I guess, yoga teachers, we know that it's not. It's so much more. My philosophy is I don't care how you start yoga, just start, right? So if you're coming from, I want to lose weight, or I want to do the physical aspect of yoga, great. Because as we all know, like, you can't just do the physical part without, like, you'll start to notice, like, mentally you're starting to get clearer and you're starting to calm down the mind and you're becoming nicer almost. Like, this compassion just comes out. Like, you're opening all these things, you're working through all these layers of the body, and it for most people comes from having done the physical part. Amazing. So would you say that having done yoga, it helped heal your bodies physically wise? When did you start to notice that it was making a more positive impact in your life?
Immediately. I thought everyone had tight hips. That was my story. I thought everyone has hips like me where it's just tight and I can't sit cross-legged and like wide-legged folded or standing fold. Like that was difficult for me. But just stretching even like 30 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day, 5 minutes a day, like it helps. You notice it the next day. Like it's just more open. It's not as, you know, like, oh, that's not clicking anymore, or why do I feel like this should be hurting when it's not hurting anymore? So like I know that it creates more openness and it just you like those right away, the benefits is just like, yeah, like you can feel it the next day. So
I think that's really fascinating too, that you came from physical labor and the first thing you noticed was tight hips. And as we know, tight hips can cause so many problems to do with the back, to do with hamstrings, usually caused by physical movement of some kind. So I think that's, I mean, it just goes to show that if you do any sort of physical labor, you most likely have or will or currently experiencing tight hips of some kind. And it's not something you like necessarily know, like you're walking and you're like, hey, my hips are feeling tight, but you'll do like a yoga pose and you're like, wow, this is really difficult. Like my knees are up towards my shoulders. I can't bend forward. And that's when you start to notice the differences in your body. And isn't it funny that you said, I assumed everybody had tight hips. When I first started doing yoga, I had so much wrist and knee pain. And that was my story. I was like, how is anybody doing this? Like, I have so much pain in my wrist and my knees.
Yeah.
And that was like, everybody's got to be having this. I don't know how people are doing this thing called yoga. And it stopped. I was only able to do yoga a couple of times a week until I could build up that strength where I don't have any pain at all anymore in both my wrist and my knees. But yeah, at first I was like, oh my God, everybody's got to have this problem. How are people doing this?
Do you think it was more of a mindset where you felt like it was having pain when you weren't, you were just having some experiencing some, you know, new feelings in your wrist and knees?
I think it was a little bit of everything. My mom's side, so a lot of the females, and here comes the story, they all have like degenerative arthritis in their knees. And I started experiencing pain around 18. Like it would just be like walking upstairs, I would hear that click grinding sound. And my doctor was like, well, like it's in your family, you're bound to have it. So there's that story. So I was like, no, I have this knee pain. It's something I need to deal with.
Yeah.
And then the wrist was probably a lot of like, I'm not doing chaturangas every day. So this is definitely something new. And it was just, yeah, it's like anything. It's just kind of building up that tolerance and that muscle and that strength and stability and mobility, all of it in the body. And it's, if you don't do it doesn't happen overnight. It takes a little bit of time, but like I said, I don't have any of this pain anymore, so it 100% works.
Yes, for sure.
Amazing. So you become a Reiki practitioner because you want to become a Reiki master. You're doing your yoga teacher training with the idea of wanting to teach yoga. And then your love of poetry becomes ignited. When do you decide that you want to infuse all of this together?
I was teaching last year, and I tried to incorporate poetry with everything that I created. I know that that's a certain kind of niche, so I'm still gonna be open to doing that and inspire like a theme class and then poetry at the end for the meditation. So that's how I would incorporate my energy and my compassion and my poetry within a yoga class.
I think that's amazing. I think that's an incredible niche to get into. And I think that a lot of people would be very drawn to that. It's I think meditation is something that more people are recognizing that they need. And I think that's a really neat idea to put a spin of poetry on that. And it allows you to express yourself. It allows people to be the receiver of all of that. Ooh, that's very cool. I like that.
Yeah, and there was also another class that I was going to teach, and it was called Poetry in Motion, and basically just do a regular class, and at the end, they could bring their own piece that they either wrote or that they something that resonates with them, and we all share this beautiful moment at the end of the class to tie it all together, because everything, that's yoga.
Yes. Yeah, that's so beautiful. And I think that that is yoga. It's all about union and connecting with each other and your voice, mm-hmm. or at least something that resonates with you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's amazing. So why did you decide to take your 500 hours?
Again, it was because I was hungry from the 200 hour. Not that the 200 hour didn't already blow my mind and question everything in my life, but the 500 hour allowed me to get clear, to find out why I want to teach and what I want to teach and how to be more confident within myself. Because the 200 hour gives you more than enough to teach. But then I want to be a teacher. So it's something that I have to do. If you're going to be a teacher, you have to do it, because it makes you more experienced, more educated. And I do not regret it.
No, I think the 500 hour, it would be my whole goal in life is to see everybody doing at the very bare minimum a 200 hour. I would love to see mm-hmm. everybody doing that, because it does. Yeah. It opens this portal to you that you don't expect. Like, I went into my 200 hour specifically mm-hmm. with the mindset of I'm getting my certification so I can teach yoga on a beach. That's all I wanted. And I came out of it like almost like, what the hell? Like, I'm learning things about myself and I'm going mm-hmm. down these, you know, things from my past that are holding me back.
Yeah.
And why are they holding you back? And then at the end of it, you're almost like, 200 wasn't enough. Like, I need more.
Yeah.
And even mm-hmm. after this 500 hour, I'm like, I need more. Like, can I take another 500?
Yeah, another 500, 700 hour.
Yeah, I know.
No, I totally get what you're saying. It's just like, you need to know more. You fall in love with yourself. The 200 hour, it brings things to light that you've been suppressing. All the stuff that you don't want to think about, it brings that up. And I think Balanced Life does a very good job with you not knowing what's going to happen, just because you don't have any expectations. You take whatever resonates with you the most. And that's why I love that I did the fast track and I was only 2.5 months, and just going through that and going there every 2 weekends, like, it was crazy the amount of shifts that were happening in my life at that time.
Yeah, it's so, I have friends who've done like the every day they do it. So I think it's like 24 days, maybe it's 28. And they mm-hmm. do it. And then myself, who I did the extended version, so I was over 6 months.
6 months, yeah.
And there's so much to learn that part mm-hmm. of me was like, I would love to have done it back to back to back, because you just keep going with that momentum. But at the mm-hmm. same time, I feel like, well, maybe I would have forgotten some things. Maybe it would have been mm-hmm. too much overload. So I don't know. And I'm curious, if anybody's mm-hmm. listening to this and they did either or, I'm curious to know what your experience was with it and whether you enjoyed the fast-tracked version or taking it slower. I know across the board, different schools do it different ways. So I'm just curious mm-hmm. how it worked out for other people.
Yeah, it's definitely cool to have a different perspective on other courses. Just because, like, with the every 2 weekends, you try and apply the teachings you do weekly, but it you're having trouble until at the end when you finally know how to do it. So, like, I feel like the every day would be pretty cool, just because, like, you're there every day and you could choose to be better every day. So,
yeah, and I mean, who doesn't want to hang out in teacher training? Honestly, if I could do it forever.
Yes.
Like everybody just always takes teacher training. It's just the funnest thing. And it's, you meet so mm-hmm. many cool people. I mean, we met through yeah. our 300 hours. So
mm-hmm.
it's so much fun. I love it. Never stop yeah, learning.
And never stop.
So do you have any other fitness practices that you live by or wellness practices that you do on a daily basis?
I practice mindfulness and compassion every day. I try to be mindful when I speak just because each word holds a certain kind of energy and vibration. So whenever I think during the day, I just become aware of what is being said and I discredit whatever is not true. So I allow myself to be a vessel which energy flows through me and to be expressed in the most authentic and meaningful way for me. I also try and find a type of meditation daily, whether it be through writing poetry or learning my ukulele that I just got, through basketball, or just sitting with my own thoughts. Just being able to focus on one thing and quieting the mind really is the goal of meditation. I also try and work out every day, whether it be a flow, running, or lifting weights. I like to change it up depending on what my body is trying to tell me to focus on daily. There's just something organic and raw about creating a new, healthier lifestyle change. At first, it's kind of hard, to be honest, but when you realize how much happier you become as you do it, and you just make more time for it. So I encourage anyone to start at least like 5 minutes a day in order to create a better life for themselves.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. And that's my whole philosophy is don't try to do everything all at once. It's too overwhelming. But take five mm-hmm. minutes. And maybe that 5 minutes is waking up 5 minutes earlier and throwing mm-hmm. on a guided meditation. If it's something that you're struggling with to practice, like a concentration meditation or a mindful meditation, listen to a guided mm-hmm. meditation. Somebody is literally doing the work for you. You just have to sit there and be present.
Yeah, you just have to allow the experience and just take whatever you can from that experience.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's, yeah, you start with one thing. Once it feels like it's part of your routine, start to incorporate another thing. Fitness-wise, like, you don't have to start weightlifting and running and doing vinyasa and power and yin all at once. Pick one of those.
No.
Do yeah. it and, you know, try it. Maybe you do try running. You try it for a month and you're like, I hate this. So stop. Mm-hmm. Do something different.
Yeah. The best thing about yoga is that it's for everyone and there's so many different styles. So if
yes.
you don't like one, don't just stop there. Just try a different one. Like, you're bound to be drawn more towards one, whether it be the physical practice, the mindful practice, the meditation practice, the teacher, the energy, the students. Just keep on trying a different one until you like it, because you'll find one and you won't really regret your decision.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's a really nice point that you've made too. Sometimes it's about resonating with a teacher. And maybe it's not so much the style of yoga that you would have picked initially or that you even like mm-hmm. initially. But if you like the teacher, I think that plays a significant role. And yeah, same.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say try a yoga class and if you hate that class, never go back. Give it a few tries. Like, I would say try it out for, you know, a week's worth. And if it still doesn't speak to you, then go on to something else, but give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Yeah, for sure.
So that was super helpful. Thank you so much for sharing that. Do you have any other tips for someone who wants to start their journey, but they just don't know how to begin?
Well, by listening to this, they're already on their journey. So their next step is, it doesn't affect you. It affects you as a whole. It creates more growth, love, and opportunity of happiness. So the trick is that being scared, you're not really fully experiencing life. So if you're in a constant state of fear and you don't know what to do, you are not living life. So my tip and trick would be start living your life, start working on your dreams, start being better every day because that's what you want, not because that's what someone else wants. Because we're so focused on fear as a society, whether it be on through our parents, passed down through our belief systems, that everyone is different and everyone has a chance every day to make their life better because we are all creators.
Yes, JB, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. And it's so true. This is your life. And I think it's important to recognize that not everybody will agree with you. Not everybody will like that fact that you're changing. And those mm-hmm. are not your people. Those people, your people want you to flourish.
Mm-hmm.
And they may be unsure about it. They may have questions, but if they're holding you back, that's one thing. But if they're, you know, they're going through a change with you, allow that to happen, because I think it's a beautiful thing to see as you're changing how other people are either changing around you or they're not.
Yeah.
And it's,
yeah,
you have to either let those people go who are not changing, or you have to be okay with the fact that they're not changing and not allow them to influence you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it's beautiful to keep encouraging or empowering the people who are changing to keep going with you and to keep their momentum going, because they're going through the exact same thing of people changing, and people not changing.
Yes.
Amazing. This has been so much fun to talk to you. And I just to sum it up, how has either yoga, Reiki, or poetry positively impacted you in your life? You can name one in one way, or you can name in 3 to 5 ways. How has it made an impact on you?
Number one, love. It taught me to love myself. I would always love everyone else before I love myself, and I would put them before myself. So stepping into yoga and poetry gave me the confidence to relearn how to love myself, because I did not know myself. And now I feel powerful. I feel empowered. I want to help others. I want to help each other grow. I want nothing but the fullest expression of their life. I like to see the happiness just shine through them. Like I said, it's all energy and you feel it. And it's attractive. That energy is attractive. You're just drawn to it. You want more of it. You want to see that person bloom. You want to see another person bloom. And it's just a healthy circle that goes all the way around. And you also receive as you give. So it's just amazing how much,
Well, honestly, if that doesn't get people to start yoga, I don't know what will. That was so beautifully said. And I think it's something that we really, really need as a society, is to realize it's important. We have to fill up our cups before we can fill up others. Like you can't. And we do. We're always trying to please and make other people happy rather than ourselves. But it's important to know that when you're happy with yourself and you feel good about yourself, that your reach to make other people feel good is so much deeper and it's so much further.
Because we're all teachers and we're all teaching each other something. And it's just yoga, poetry, Reiki, like it's all intertwined and we're all connected, and you are me and I am you. And it's just like, how can I serve you better? How can, you know, it's an amazing thing for anyone to experience.
I think that's so powerful. And I want to leave our conversation on that note, because I think that was really impactful. I think it was so powerful, and that was really beautiful. So thank you so much for sharing that. JB, where can everybody go find you? Where can they hang out with you? What can they see is coming next for you?
You can find me on Instagram. My handle is JB_the_creator. My offerings are soon to come. I'm trying to work on this broga thing to get more males and just build a brotherhood of like-minded individuals in order to become kings again. So like helping your own brothers raise young kings and queens and just succeeding together and escape from the ego. And I'm also working on a flow. It's called Hips Don't Lie. So it's just
that's awesome.
Yeah. So yeah. So it's just a little flow that you can do 3 times a week, and it just helps you just feel pain free.
Yes, I love this, and I think the broga thing is so awesome, and we definitely need more guys in this practice. We need more guys to break down the barrier and the stigma of yoga just being for females, because it's not. Mm-hmm. And I love that you could be the guiding hands, the guiding light behind that.
Yes. It's a big shoe to fill, but I am super excited.
If anyone can do it, it's you.
Thank you, Megan. I appreciate you.
So if anyone is driving, walking, washing their dog, having a shower, I will link everything to connect with JB in the show notes so you can find them there. Thank you so much once again, JB.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
So thank you once again to my guest, JB, for being on the podcast with me. And I will make sure that you can find the links to connect with him in the show notes. If you know someone who should be on the podcast, or you yourself want to be on the podcast, please make sure that you email me. That is also in the show notes. Or you send me a direct message on Instagram or Facebook or wherever you're following me to make sure that we can connect. I love getting your stories out across the world, and this podcast is being downloaded and listened to from all over the world. We are as far as Australia and Thailand now, which is so exciting. And there's about 19 more countries that are listening to this. So if you want your story to be heard, please feel free to reach out to me, and let's see if we can get you connected with others across the globe. As always, I would love, love, love if you took 2 seconds of your time to leave a rating and review for the podcast. This does help us get our name out there. It helps more people get on the mat and to start doing yoga. And I would love if you subscribed to the podcast to show your support and love for it. With that being said, I hope you have an excellent rest of your week, and I will see you next Monday. Namaste.